The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Many of us have a dream to build something, create something, write something. We dedicate every moment, every thought, every ounce of energy to create an enterprise out of our dream, and with luck, we succeed. Then we look around us and realize that we have neglected certain things along the way. Friends, family, rest and relaxation, whatever. So how can you be insanely busy at work while staying connected at home? Linda Siverson will help us navigate through those waters because she has done exactly that. She realized her lifelong dream of writing books, becoming a successful author, the book mama to many. She is the founder of Carmel Writing Retreats and co-creator of Your Big Beautiful Book Plan. Linda and her work have been featured on CNN, E!, Extra, The New York Post, The New York Times, Family Circle, Teen Vogue, and The Huffington Post. Most recently, she's been covered in Forbes.com, and her blog has received the Best of the Web Nob from the Daily News. And it is truly my pleasure to have her with us today for the next hour. Linda, welcome.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's wonderful to be here.
Pleasure is mine. So please tell us, your story is fascinating. How did it all start for you?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, as a kid, I always wanted to be a writer. I was in love with books, and I read a lot. But I think I dreamt about writing more than I read, honestly. It was almost as if I imagined that I had been a writer in the past and felt as if I was stepping into it in my mind. And yet it was really complicated because I wasn't a big student. I loved school, but I didn't love the organizational kind of behavior that you had to have to do schoolwork. I was just very lazy when it came to getting things done, and I would much more prefer to be outside playing and doing sports. And so I had a complicated relationship with school, and it wasn't until I had a dream in my 20s that told me of the first book and five other titles that I was, you know, quote-unquote supposed to write, that I really saw the reality of it for myself. But before that point, it was a lot of stops and starts. You know, I'd start to write a book and then I'd stop, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and write pages and then I'd stop. And so it's sort of a miracle to me that I'm here, honestly.
Well, how many books now?
Nine or ten total, two of which, the first one was my own. The second one I ghostwrote, or actually I was on the title page or even on the cover, so it's called Being a With Author. So I guess that would be a co-author, so that was the second. And then the third one I did with my son, co-authored it with my son. And then from there I've ghostwritten and co-authored, and I think the total is nine now. And then helped hundreds of other people get book deals as well, just through consulting.
So your Your business now is that of consulting with authors of how to get their dream on paper, if you will, or on...
Yeah. Well, you know, what happened was, like many people, I started off wanting to write because I love to be alone and I love to kind of nest in my home and cook and have the animals at my feet and be able to be, you know, really one with my thoughts. And then, you know, the joke was, that when my marriage blew up, my husband had an affair, I suddenly realized, oh my God, I can't hide in my house anymore. I need to put myself out into the world. And in sort of hanging my shingle publicly about being able to help people get publishing deals, I did a teleseminar, and the teleseminar led to people wanting to do private things with me, so I ended up starting retreats. But all of that was just a complete... result of being devastated and really feeling like I had no choice but to go public.
You know, that does work sometimes pretty well for opening different doors, doesn't it?
Desperation.
As a matter of fact, yes, well, whatever you call it, it's, you know,
being
what's
hungry,
the cliche?
Yes.
Yeah, and the need is the mother of invention, and
yep.
Then you just move forward with what you know best. In fact, I first came across your work, my wife actually had identified it, the Carmel Writing Retreat, some time ago. Yeah, it was better part of 2 years ago when I was weeks away from releasing my book, and she was perusing the internet, and Mr. Google came up with your name.
And, Mr. Google is so kind.
Yes, indeed. So for the benefit of our listeners, just tell us about what the Carmel Writing Retreats are.
Well, like I said, you know, working one-on-one with people was always so enjoyable to me, but there's only so many people you can help working one-on-one. So when I started doing the retreats, I thought, you know, I think I'll get a house and I'll start helping, you know, small groups of people. And I started initially at 5 and 6 people, and I've since changed it to 4, sometimes 5. But I really like the groups to be very small, because every day we not only write, but we know that we're going to read to each other at the end of the day. And Chris, I don't know if you've ever had to do that publicly, but when you know that you're going to be reading to very intelligent people every evening, your work takes on a real quickening process, and you get very, very inspired. And it's pretty magical. I mean, Carmel is such a bastion of creativity. I don't know if you know the story, but in 1906, when San Francisco had the big earthquake, a lot of people who were artists had nowhere to go, and Carmel was just formed as a new municipality, and they started, you know, sort of coaxing these artists to come, and they came in droves. And so, you know, it's really been a haven for artists for many, many years, and it still feels that way. So I have this beautiful home that I rent that's overlooking the ocean, and we get pampered by a chef. And we brainstorm for each other. It's very much like a creative think tank. And then I do private sessions with each woman each day. And we go from, you know, a group of strangers to a family of very inspired people very quickly. And a lot of book deals have come out of it. It's pretty exciting. I help people when they're ready to get connected with my agent friends. And gosh, just this morning I've been watching one of them in a bidding war with publishers, and sent another one off a half hour ago to an agent. So it's fun. It's so much fun. I almost care about their careers more than I ever did for my own. So it's nice.
Well, it is. So the people that you're coaching, for lack of a better word, mentoring, whatever the appropriate descriptor is,
yeah,
those are individuals who either have started writing a book or considering writing a book.
You know, it's kind of all walks of life. People come either at the end of their process. I've had people come where they've written an entire memoir. They've had an agent trying to sell it. It's not selling. They don't know why. All the way to people who have ideas that are making them crazy in their head, and they've written nothing but a few scraps of paper about it, you know, and everything in between. People who come with, you know, half of a book done or one chapter. And, you know, I really like to speak with people at every phase of their experience. Sometimes it's the most rewarding to get people early on in their process, because I know that once the brainstorming starts, and which is very and a very intuitive process, because people are very quick to be able to see where somebody is congruent with what they want and where they're incongruent. So if somebody starts telling us what she's so excited to work on, and yet we're not seeing it, we're not feeling it, we can really call BS very quickly. And that shortcuts her process. It makes it so that, you know, if she's going down a path that doesn't feel right, we can help her get out of that path very quickly and into one that does feel right. So I like working with people at all stages of their career. And sometimes I'll have people show up who are already best-selling authors, and they've got so many ideas in their head, they just need help structuring their process because they've had some success and they know the possibilities, but they can't wade through all of the ideas in their own heads because, you know, we need people to be objective for us. It's very hard for us to be objective for ourselves.
Very true. Very true. So people who want to get more information about your activities, they can look you up at bookmama.com?
Bookmama.com, right. And there's a whole section there on Carmela and videos and things and testimonials. And, that's where to find me.
So we've got a couple of minutes before we go to break. Let's use that time for you to tell us what the big, beautiful book plan is.
Oh, one of my favorite people in the world, Danielle Laporte. I don't know if you know her work, but she is one of the best writers in my opinion in the world right now. I was very, very blessed when she asked me to combine forces and to create sort of the definitive Bible on all things getting a book deal. And so what we did, she had helped a lot of people get published, and I had too over the years. So we pooled our resources and we created the best of the best that the two of us know for a very inexpensive price, because we knew that most people couldn't afford to come to our retreats or to hire us. And so we wanted people to be able to sit down with a couple hundred pages and you know, 8 or so hours of audio and be able to figure it out for themselves. So everything from, you know, do you want an agent or do you want to self-publish? You know, what's the best way to outline a book proposal, which is the business plan for publishers? All the advice that we could bring, and then we included 20 different samples of book proposals of our clients and bestsellers, people that we know who got incredible book deals. We give the actual examples from their proposals so that people can see so many different examples of how it's done. And so it's really, you know, it helps people become visionary writers, stronger business people, and get the book deal.
And that's wonderful. So this whole trip, if you will, has been clearly a very successful one for you. It, you know, having bestsellers does not happen by accident. Mm. I assume it takes an awful lot of hard work and an awful lot of dedication, and layering over that the personal issues, which seem to detract from the concentration on the business. It makes the focus on the business, the dedication, and by extension the amount one spends on it, that much more challenging as a task.
Oh, yeah.
So when we come back from a short break, I want to talk about how we keep all those balls in the air. And at the end of the show, we can hopefully answer this question.
Oh, I love it.
Can we have it all?
I'll be
very interested to hear your take on that. My guest is Linda Sivertsen, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Afasiou. We'll be back in a moment.
talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest Linda Silverson.
Please, <You got it.
laughs> please visit her on the web. Her website is bookmama.com. And yep. Follow her on Twitter at Linda Silverson. And I will spell that for you. Linda, of course, is L-I-N-D-A. Last name is S-I-V-E-R-T-S-E-N.
Yeah.
For more information on this program and speaking engagements and other activities, please visit my website, chrisfsu.com, or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris FSU, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. So, mm-hmm. Linda, we were talking about how a busy person needs to partition time to do certain things, that certain tasks that are either related to work or not related to work, but one cannot be doing everything at the same time and satisfying different masters all
sure.
with the same kind of aptitude.
Right.
And as I understand it, you devote or partition time that you dedicate purely to writing. As a matter of fact, for the benefit of our listeners, I should share here that last week I was supposed to speak with Linda on the phone, and the last minute I had a scheduling conflict, so I sent her an email asking to reschedule the call, and I get an immediate reply saying, oh, whichever day we said we were going to reschedule for, she said, oh, that works better for me because I'm in Hawaii and that will give me more time today to write by the beach. And of course, having turned blue with envy, that's a wonderful thing, and I'm particularly pleased for everyone who can actually dedicate that time. And for somebody to be creative, you cannot be encumbered by a whole lot of other thoughts because it is that well that gives you the creative thought process. So, tell us how you manage that time. You partition time to do one thing and kind of dedicate yourself to it.
Right, to fill that well that you're talking about. You know, it doesn't come easily to me. It does now, but it did not come easily to me at all. In fact, when I met my boyfriend 3.5 years ago, he looked at my schedule and said, you know, Linda, I run a corporation of 3,000 people. I have $1.5 billion budget, and I wouldn't hire you. I mean, you can't you can't get enough done in a day. You know, you're working nights and weekends, and that's not a way to live. He said something that surprised me so much, but I think as Chief Daddy Officer, you'll understand this. He said, you know, I tell my employees that if they can't go to their kids' Little League games, and if they can't, you know, get their work done from 8 to 5, that, you know, they either need to fix that or they need to leave my employment, because I don't want those employees. I don't want people working for me that can't have a balanced, happy family life. And I was floored by that, because I did not have a balanced, happy family life. So it was very hard for me. What he did for me was he made me a time tracker. He made an Excel spreadsheet, of which I had never even seen one before, and showed me how to time track and how to write down, you know, what I was doing all day and pay attention. Because he said, Linda, I think you waste a lot more time than you think you do. And I was shocked, Chris, by how much time I wasted. And I think part of that was because, you know, I had raised my son in a very noisy household, that we had dogs and cats, and my husband at the time was an actor who was home much of the time, and a very lively household. And I very much got used to writing late at night, in the middle of the night. And that's okay. You know, I wouldn't choose to do that now, but it's what got me, I think, a lot of time to be very prolific. But it came at a great cost, and I was exhausted. And you know, there were ways to do it. I took really good care of myself. I always made sure I exercised. I ate very, very healthfully. So I could do it, and it was worth it, and it did fuel me because I got so much done and I felt so good about myself. But there were ways in which it could have been more balanced. And so as when I met him, my son was off at school, and the dogs had all passed away except for one. But I still had the habits, you know, and I was still like working too late in the night, working weekends. I had really no recovery time, so I would watch TV to kind of zone out, and then I would need to nap because I'd be stressed out about what I wasn't getting done, and it was kind of crazy making. So over the last couple of years, I've changed that, and, you know, I've put systems in place. We can talk more specifically if you want to, but I've put systems in place, and I don't, as a rule, work many nights or weekends. I filled the well in all these other areas. I've gotten support from, you know, support staff, which we can talk about if you want to. Whatever, you know, however deeply you want to go in, just let me know. But it's gotten to the point where my business has tripled. I make a lot more money. I have a lot more value in my business, a lot more love and relaxation. My clients are chill. I'm chill. We're all sort of happily creating, as opposed to on this frenzied pitch that I used to live on. And, you know, now I would say sometimes, and this is going to sound so obnoxious, but sometimes my biggest stress now is that I feel like we almost travel and have too much fun. And I know that sounds crazy, but I really didn't want to go to Hawaii last week when he told me we were going. I said, oh, well, can I go? Because he was going for work. So I wanted to go, but then I very quickly wanted to retreat and say, oh, never mind, because I thought, oh, I'll get more done at home. And I thought, you know, I really want to write. And I was wrong. What I did was I spent that time in Hawaii writing. And I did not, I worked, you know, on clients the first 2 days, and then I spent the last 5 days working on no clients and reading. Oh, my God, I read 2 books. And I wrote all day. And it's very, very important to do that, or I start to go insane. And, you know, sometimes I'm trying to now, once a quarter, I take a whole month off, and I call it going dark. I go dark to write. Now, not everybody in their careers can do that. I wrote a blog post about it, and clients wrote to, or people I'd never met actually wrote to me saying, okay, I'm going to go dark next Saturday, or I'm going to take the weekend and go dark. And one woman wrote and said, I had no idea that my husband would be so willing, but he's taking the kids half of the day on Saturday while I go to the library and go dark. So it started this, you know, kind of excitement in me to think, oh my gosh, if I can give other people the excitement of going dark, I need to do it more often. So that's what I did in Hawaii. In the sunshine, I went dark.
It makes sense, and I'm sure you said you read 2 books.
I did.
it's such a pleasure that unfortunately we in the course of a busy day, we do not give ourselves enough time in a day or a week or whatever, right, to go dark, whether that would be to do something specific or to do nothing at all.
Right.
I enjoy reading, and especially when I read a book that I'm really hooked on.
Yeah.
I tend to go dark in flights. That
oh yeah.
You know, I don't power on the computer. And you know, reading a book on the iPad is just a pleasure.
Yeah.
That I don't know that I have very many hours in a week's time that I can actually sit there uninterruptedly and read something.
Right.
So tell me, for the benefit of our listeners, your wisdom on the plans, the processes you've put in place that you've made that your support system. Was that hired help? Was it family pitching in, some combination of the two?
You know, initially, I hired support out of complete desperation. So my husband had just left. It was a total surprise to me. I had my sort of explosion happen at the same time, or implosion happened at the same time as the housing crisis bubble bursting in America. So, you know, it wasn't just me that was losing my home. It was my neighbors were losing theirs too. So it helped me feel a little bit less alone, but it was quite traumatizing. And I had two choices. I could expand and hire help that I couldn't really afford, or I could retract and, you know, declare bankruptcy. And I chose to expand, which was very, very scary. I actually had to borrow money from friends and family to do it. But I had this very strong belief that I could pull myself through if I just had time and support. And I hired this wonderful woman. She was 28 years old. She came into my house every day with sunshine on her face, which was exactly what my son and me needed. And very quickly, she was so helpful. Like I said, I couldn't afford her, but I felt like I couldn't afford not to have her. Because, you know, and in my business, I make a really, really nice hourly wage, but I was so exhausted and so traumatized that I couldn't really do many hours. So I wasn't doing that many billable hours. However, with her support, taking over so much of the grunt work for me that, you know, things like Facebook and Twitter, I didn't even know how to do them. So she was setting things up for me. That's part of what I was talking about with systems. She was setting things up for me that I didn't know how to do myself, that I was trying to figure out myself. So I'm eating up all this brain power, all this energy, all this time where I could have been doing what I do well and charging well for it. So in paying her, I think I paid her, I don't remember, $30, $40 an hour. I don't remember what it was. But I paid her way more than I could afford. And In paying her that money, I could go then make much more money on my hourly wage. So it was so exciting because I had heard for years. In fact, I had ghostwritten a book where we talked about money, and the author for the book was talking about how, you know, if you make more money hourly than you can afford, than your help, then you have to hire help. And I had believed that and hoped for that, but I had never taken that plunge. And so that's what happened. And what happened was she helped me to make more money. And then when we started the retreats did the same thing. You know, each thing that you start takes a lot of time and energy to build, and it's exhausting, and it can be expensive. But once you build it, then you have a system, and I started making a lot more money doing that, and then making my clients more money. So it just seemed to be this win-win-win. And as far as how to find the support, I was very blessed with the woman who actually came into my home. She was a referral, and she was an angel, and it worked out beautifully. As for my online support, because I did end up hiring later a couple of VAs, virtual assistants, and the way I found them was that I called Danielle Laporte, who is my co-author on Your Big Beautiful Book Plan, and Danielle has such an amazing business that she told me who to hire, and I, you know, I just asked for her referral.
It takes a village, doesn't it?
It really does. And you know, at first I only got a few hours with that person, but a few hours with the best is worth a lot of hours with somebody else.
Without question. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Afasiou. Back in a few minutes.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Linda Sivertson. Please visit her website at bookmama.com and follow her on Twitter at Linda Sivertson. So, you go dark.
Yeah.
When you need to do the heavy, high concentration requiring work.
Yeah.
But life still goes on, and you have a boyfriend, and you have a son, and you have a life.
Yeah.
And, you know, some kind of connection needs to be happening throughout the day. How do you do that?
That's a great question. Well, okay, let's think this through. What I try to do, again, is be aware of my health first and foremost, because I think if I don't feel good, I'm not going to be connected to myself and I'm not going to be connected to anybody else. So I start by really trying to take care of myself. I try to get good sleep, which is something I never did in the past. I did 60 all-nighters the year that my husband left. Some of those were, 48 hours as opposed to 24. And so I try to get really good sleep. If I know that my boyfriend has to wake up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., I try to go to bed early the night before so that we have some kind of connection in the morning, even if it's just an orange juice and a hug at 5 a.m. I use that time to get up early to connect with him and then, to really start my day with power. And what I do is I try to do the big things first. For me, the big thing is always getting to my own writing first. I notice that if I get my writing done, I am sane. Then that means I can better connect with my son, who's 23 and in college, or I can connect with my boyfriend later on because I'm not frazzled, because I've handled my big stuff. And, I always, the day before, try to have a really clear understanding of what the next day looks like, who I've promised to do things for, what that schedule looks like. I know pretty much half hour by half hour where I have to be, even if it's, going on a walk with a friend or going to ride my horse. I've got it all scheduled out so that I try to eliminate emergencies. I try to eliminate surprises because I've noticed that when I'm in emergency mode or last minute mode, it's harder for me to connect with the people that I love. And I never want people to feel like I'm rushed. I noticed that when my son was young, I oftentimes was like, okay, honey, okay, I'll hurry. I'll talk to you in a minute. Wait, I've got to finish this paragraph. I've got to finish this chapter. And I noticed how much it would kind of disappoint him and set him on edge. And I I also was a very, very present mother, but there was too much of the rushing in my life, just too much, and I got so tired of it. And so if when I get my stuff organized, when I have my systems running, Evernote, I have to tell you, check it out.
It works, doesn't it?
Oh, my God, Evernote has transformed my life as far as being organized and having all of my things on my phone and my computer so that I'm not in emergency mode anymore, and therefore, you know, I can think ahead. I can think ahead about, you know, what do I want to eat tonight for dinner? I can text my boyfriend and say, hey, do you feel like salmon? I've got, you know, some time to whip something up. And it allows me to be more spontaneous. It allows me to be a better communicator. Just today, for instance, he was golfing with some work buddies, and I knew he was going to come home early, and I texted him and I said, just a reminder, I'm on the radio today at 3. If you come home early, you know, Troji, who's our dog, will be in the kennel, and, you know, if Mary's barking in my office, will you grab her? And that just, you know, makes it so there's no misunderstandings, there's no emergencies, there's no stress. And because I try not to work nights and weekends, there's a lot more connection going on. My son and my boyfriend know that when I'm with them, I'm actually present. You know, and I think you kind of have to know who you're with. You have to know what kind of people you're with. If your man or woman is kinesthetic, you know, she might really need you to be sitting close to her on the couch when you're near each other. Some people prefer more space, but you have to know who you're with. My boyfriend is great with space, and he's great with kinesthetics, so I give him both. You know, with my son, I know what things make him stressed out and urgent, and I try to be careful. Like, for instance, you know, I send him money through B of A online because he's in school, and I know that when he gets really low, if he has to keep asking me for money, that stresses him out. So I go every morning and I look at his balance and I see if he needs it, and I'm in communication with him. So for the most part, he's not walking around in school all freaked out that he has to ask his mom for money. It takes me 2 seconds to check in the morning and to know where he's at. But those are just the type of things that I, you know, I try to be really aware of so that I'm there even when I'm not there.
You're making a very good point, several good points, and that, you know, checking the finances proactively is literally the only way one can manage finances, because you said something about surprises before, and
yeah.
I am a person who reserves surprises for Christmas only, and that's it. There is no worse surprise than a surprise that has dollar signs attached to it, because
right.
That's never good news.
Right.
So you mentioned that you were texting, you texted your boyfriend, you are in communication with your son, you go online, you check balances, you clearly use technology.
Oh gosh, yes. Oh gosh.
And so frequently these days we hear people complaining about technology because it takes so much out of their daily life, and,
yeah.
and they cannot put it down, and answering emails at 10 o'clock at night, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But there is an upside to that, and that is using technology to your advantage, such
right.
as texting to keep in touch. I mean, my daughter is 25, will be 26 on Sunday. A professional herself, she's married, she travels a lot, I travel a lot, and I would receive as many times as I will send a text saying, you know, miss you, can't wait to see you, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, in the middle of your day, no matter how busy you are, it's the kind of message that puts a smile on your face. Because it makes it, I never had any doubts that my daughter thinks of me, but when you are in the midst of doing something and you're seeing that text pop up in your screen, it does make an awful lot of, it gives you an awful lot of satisfaction. And if nothing else, it makes you feel good. So why, to the listeners out there, there are two ways of looking at that.
Yeah,
making your technology be your enemy, mm-hmm. but if you can't avoid them, join them, and therefore,
yeah,
use the technology to your advantage. Use it to when you travel and you're away, and especially if parents who travel and they're away for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Well, Skype is free, and so is FaceTime. So why not, get the picture there of your loved ones and they can see your face as well, and you have that connection. So, it's one of those things that allow people to connect and or stay connected while they're doing other things. We've got some... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think like anything else, there's a dual nature to it. There's always the light and the dark and the bad and the good, and I think we have to have boundaries with everything that we do. So, my clients know that in Carmel they're going to get 100% of my focus, and it's just going to be this really, really, really deep dive into their creativity, and I'm there to serve them 100%. And then they also know that when they get home, I have an extremely busy life, an extremely busy writing life of my own. And so, they're not going to have that same level of access. However, there are certain times where I'm going to be there for them 100%, whether it's Skype or whether it's phone or whether it's email, I'm there. But you just tell people how you work. You let people know how you like to use email, how you like to use phone, what your kind of barometer is for being happy with this technology. And then once people understand it, they go, oh, I think where it gets tricky is when we haven't told people how we like to work. And then they just assume they can text you at 10 o'clock at night. Well, sometimes at 10 o'clock at night, if you text me, you're going to wake me up because I'll forget to turn off the thing and I might be asleep at 10 o'clock. So, I think so much of it is about just being clear and having your boundaries really obvious and explained. And then people don't get their feelings hurt and you don't have to be so overwhelmed.
Exactly. With a couple of minutes to go on this segment, I'd like to take a question from one of our listeners.
Sure.
That's mostly down your professional path. That comes from Hadley in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
Hadley says, I have lived a life of many new beginnings and challenges. Mm. Many of my friends are always telling me I should write a book.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds wonderful and I would like to do it, but my frustration and question is, how do you begin?
Right. Just write. And then share it with people that you trust only. And it might be strangers. You might want to start a little writing group, get five or six people together and start reading to each other and get feedback. Maybe have somebody, a local English teacher, give you editorial notes. But just start and figure out what it is that you like to write about. And then, there's many, many ways to find out about how to get published. There's books. We wrote one, Your Big Beautiful Book Plan. But the place to start is with what's whispering to you in your mind. What juices you? What do you want to write about? What's the story that's kind of aching to be told through you? And pay attention to that, and that's where you start. And the rest will make sense, but you have to start.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm going to say this, because writing my own book, I didn't wake up one day and say, this is what I need to write about. I was asked to write about something else that I chose not to write about it, and then I came up with my book as the alternate plan.
Yeah.
But my question and issue has always been, if I can write about just about anything, but what do people want to hear about? Mm. Just give me a topic and I'll write about it. And of course, they're authors and they're writers. I'm an author. You're a writer, and there's a big difference in between the two. I want to take your reaction to that at the other side of the short break. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest Linda Sivertson. Please visit her on the web at bookmama.com and follow her on Twitter at Linda Sivertson. So, an author or a writer, Linda, there is a distinction. Your take.
I think that the writers are the ones who can't not write. You know, when I was a little kid, I couldn't not write. I was always writing something, whether it was a children's book or a love letter to somebody or, you know, a little fairy tale in my head. I was always doing something. And authors are typically, I think, people who are writing something because they know it's good for their business. They know it's good for some kind of career path that they have. There are people typically who get a lot of help. I mean, not everybody, of course, but, you know, some estimates are that 40 to 60% of books are ghostwritten. So, you know, I've certainly ghostwritten books myself, and the person I write them for is called the author, and I'm the writer. So,
right.
I think that's a nice distinction. I've never really thought it through, but thank you for pointing that out. It's nice.
Certainly. And another question from Phyllis in Miami. She says, I love the topic of the show. I dream of writing a book. Mm. Linda, how do you help writers find a hook? Is there a process that facilitates that creative endeavor?
Oh,
and
goodness.
I think they just stepped on your website. Just take them there.
Oh, God. Wait, what did you just say? You said you want me to take them there?
No, just explain to them how it is that you do it.
Oh. Well, a hook is that thing that about you or your story that is fresh, that is different, that catches the attention of the agent or the editor that's going to be reading it. I mean, if you think about these people, they're inundated with ideas. Everywhere they go, people are saying to them, oh, I want to write a book. You know, 80% of Americans say they want to write, and 2% do. So there's a lot of people walking around with stories that are untold. And in great part, I think the stories are untold because they haven't figured out how to hook it, how to make it interesting or exciting to somebody and to themselves. Because once you figure out what your hook is, it's easier then to go finish that project. So the hook is something dramatic, something exciting, something that the editor is going to read and go, oh, wow, I've never thought of it that way, or I've never heard that before, or a stat that maybe kind of blows their mind and is something that they think, wow, I needed to hear that just now. So a hook isn't a hook for everybody. You know, what's a hook for me, what's interesting to me, maybe isn't going to be interesting to you. But the way in which it's written is so compelling that it makes the reader want to turn the page. I mean, that's really all it is. It's so compelling that the reader cannot help but want more. And how you figure that out is you write. You write and you write and you show it to people and you think to yourself and you ask people, what's the most interesting thing about what I've written? I mean, I've seen projects 50 pages in where I find the hook. 50 pages in, I go, oh my God, you finally told me what this is. You finally made me excited about what this is. Well, you know, hopefully you don't want to be 50 pages in to find it.
Right, right. Because that typically will not hold most readers' attention.
Most people won't go that far.
No. I used to, but not anymore.
Right.
Back onto the to your own time management and slotting certain things in your schedule.
Yeah.
You go dark not only to write, but you go dark to also spend time with family, right?
I do. My boyfriend made that very clear early on. He said, "Listen, I'm in a certain place in my life where it's about quality of life, and it's about having a lot of fun. And if you are game, I'm so excited. And if you're not, you're not my girl." And I looked at him, I thought, okay, this might be the hardest thing I'm ever going to have to learn. And it has been. I have to say, I was so used to running on empty that I didn't hardly even mind it anymore. As a matter of fact, when he would come home early to see me, so he'd leave at 5 a.m, and sometimes he'd come home at 3, or sometimes he'd come home at 4, I'd think, oh my God, are you kidding me? I just took a nap for the last half hour because, you know, I've been working since 5 a.m. too, and now I have just gotten my second wind and I need to work till 7 or 8 p.m. Well, you know, I could do that with him, especially now that we've been together so long and he knows that I'm actually not a workaholic, that so much of my working was because of circumstance. And I've proven it to him. So sometimes I will work nights and sometimes I'll even work weekends, but not usually, because I have found that taking time off to be present to my life and to have fun is a lot more fun than I thought it would be. I used to think of fun as just getting my to-do list crossed off. And I still have fun doing that. I'm hyper-organized that way. But it's not nearly as much fun as riding across, you know, rolling green hills in Kentucky on the back of our horses laughing in the rain. I mean, there's a totally different kind of high there. And I don't know that I ever would have found that unless I had been forced to. Or learning how to drive a boat. I never knew how to do that. Or water ski. I never did that. Or, you know, a lot of the stuff we do is free. We'll hike a mountain. I used to love hiking, and I almost never did it. And now we hike, you know, probably 2 times a week. When we met before we got horses, we hiked 5 times a week. So, and I'm talking like 6 miles up a mountain. And it changed my life, and I'm never, ever willing to give that up.
Do you prioritize your fun time?
I do. In fact, we schedule it. He says to me at the beginning of every year, okay, where do you want to go this year for fun, and where do we have to go for work? And honestly, it's constant. I mean, we're both going. All, you know, we just got back from Hawaii. We're going to Colorado next week. A week after that, I teach a retreat in Carmel for a week. And then we'll go skiing over the holidays. And in January, we have more trips planned. It's kind of crazy, but I've gotten used to it, honestly. And you learn how to have downtime while you're doing it. And part of that is about putting away the technology. You know, technology is super helpful most of the time. And then there are times where you have to put it away and recharge and fill the well. And that might just be, you know, out on the lounge chairs looking at the sky at night. Or it might be, you know, meditating or whatever it is, but there, you've got to unplug, and we do.
With about a minute or so to go, I'm going to ask the question I set out at the beginning, and that is, you've been through the best of times, you've been through the worst of times, you are in the best of times.
Yeah.
So, in your view,
yeah,
can you, Linda, and every person within the sound of my voice have it all?
You're saying, do I have it all?
Can you have it all?
Oh, can you have it all?
Yes.
Yes and no. My friend Lisa Gibbons told me years ago for an interview, she said, you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. I'm still trying to have it all at the same time, and I think I do way more than I ever thought was possible. So, yes, I think you can have it all, and I actually think you can have it all at the same time. How's that?
I love it. I love it because...
That's daring,
because
isn't it?
Most of it is, but you know, with your kind of scheduling, I think you're up to something.
I think I'm up to something.
Yeah, and you know, I have become convinced over the years that, you know, I never accepted in the past any notion that you cannot have it all. That's hogwash. Yes, absolutely, you can.
Right.
but you cannot have it all at the same time. And at the same time can be defined as this moment, this day, this week.
Yeah.
But yes, over the course of a reasonable amount of time, indeed you can have it all.
Exactly, because there are going to be days where you're going to be frazzled no matter what, and there's always going to be emergencies and catastrophes that are unexpected. And yet, in a reasonable amount of time, I still believe you can have it all.
Indeed. Linda, thank you so very much. It's been a wonderful time for me and our listeners, and I hope you'll consider coming back to the show at some future point.
I would love it. Thank you so much, Chris. I love your show, and I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. So for all of you, do join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.